Hey there. It's time to talk about all things spooky. Maybe unexplained paranormal. Curious, that kind of thing. Hi there. I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. And I hope whatever is happening for you is in some way, shape, or form manageable. Okay. Whether it's paranormal stuff off the charts, or it's emotional stuff, or whatever happens to be going on in your life. I want to talk about more of the stuff that isn't always easily explainable. And it's because for this time of year, a lot of things are, I think you're more likely to hear talk about ghosts or talk about something that a strange encounter. And I like it because when I was a kid, this stuff was not accessible. It was taboo. And when people did talk about it, it was hushed tones. They only gave you half the story. And then at that point, they weren't even sure that they had a story to tell. Or if they did, they were shamed into saying, well, I don't know. And maybe that wasn't real. It was just my imagination. Okay, well, your imagination is good a lot of things. But you also have the right to experience things that are not quite, in some way, shape, or form, considered normal, that are a little bit more off the beaten path, mainstream, and make us question what we know. The cool thing is it's been going on for a long time. I just have been doing a little bit of research here with the shows that I do and the people I talk to out at the Westin Ghost Tales. And I do those shows. I can't believe it's been like 8 years been involved with that. And the kind of what that happens or what that involves is people come to me with stories that they have and ask for an explanation, or sometimes just want to share the story with somebody who is going to be not, I think, scared or intimidated or judgmental. And so that's nice because I get some really interesting stories, and just also to, reassure them that this is normal. This is part of who we are. So in doing the research, though, I came up with, I don't know if it's synchronistic, but it just things, a series of interesting events, not unfortunate, interesting. So I'm watching Miss Peregrine, and that's the movie. We have the DVD now, the Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I think just the one, there are two, and I think my mom has the books, so I was familiar with it, just hadn't gotten around to seeing it. I see it, and that was weeks and weeks of trying to get rid of the song. The song I'm talking about is Run Rabbit Run. Da 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 la 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 la. Okay, over and over again. And it's not really a happy song because the rabbit doesn't, this is like, go rabbit, go before the farmer has dinner. And then I finally get on the internet, figure out, okay, who did this and all that. I should have known, but it's been too long. And then the little notes say, did Miss Peregrine brought me here? Did Miss Peregrine bring you here? And they said, get out. So then I find Get Out. All right. So two spooky stories for the season. Read or watch Miss Peregrine and then watch the film Get Out. All right. You want to spook yourself, frighten, all sorts of boo, boo as in, there, you can check those out. And, but that's the thing, that film, I had no idea, also has that song. So there's an earworm to try and get rid of after a while. The other thing though, in doing those searches, I came up with a show that I hadn't seen. And this show was popular around and produced about the same time The Twilight Zone was out, back in the 60s, 59, 60 for this show called Beyond. It was One Step Beyond. And the thing that differentiates it between that and The Twilight Zone is this is based on stories they think are true. And they're saying that it's kind of done like a docudrama, docuseries. And there are some famous names in all of these shows. If I can just give you a short list. And that was what was so surprising. I'm looking at Elizabeth Montgomery and I'm seeing William Shatner. And it was just like, oh, good grief. These are all the, Veronica Cartwright from Lost in Space, Charles Bronson, Robert Blake, Warren Beatty, Christopher Lee, Cloris Leachman. Anyway, so old school actors and actresses, they're all right there and fun to watch. Now, the host is also fascinating too. And I'd seen him before in other shows. I just didn't realize that there was a connection. He hosts, and he also was part of, in every show, you see him as at the beginning as he gives you your rundown of what's going on. One Step Beyond, hosted by John Newland, and he also directed every episode. And then he also did an interesting episode where they go on a trip. And this is, again, you're talking 59-60, mid-60s. They go on a trip to South America to test out the mushrooms. I'm surprised that is still available and included, because that was really cutting edge, fringe, to do that. And they treat it like it's a documentary, and it's fascinating. And his experiences are on film. And so this one is, if you're looking for something to binge watch, you can check it out on YouTube. You can also buy the whole set. But Alcoa Presents is how they first started it out. And then they dropped that, and it just later became One Step Beyond. Out at the same time as The Twilight Zone. But these stories, they say that somebody experienced it. For them, it was real. And there are some fascinating stories. One of the guests I will have coming up is a law enforcement. He does forensic work, and I think 21 years is what he said. And his book is out right now. It's fascinating because it gives the other element that people, you know, you expect a law enforcement official to be legit, to be credible, to at least do the best that they can to give you a straight story. And because they're held to a higher standard, and we expect them to be perfect in a lot of ways, and they're human. So sometimes they may get facts a little bit weird or something like that, but they are not doing it intentionally, in my opinion. Okay. So I know people who have that background, and they would be the first to tell you, if I made a mistake, I'll let you know. But this one is, the story has to do with his experiences and those of his comrades, his peeps, and they get together like when they're talking things over, and I'm going with this into the area that these folks specialize in, the darker element, where they have to do work in the morgue. They have to go where a homicide has just happened and it's over, and they go into the cleanup. They do their research. They try and figure out what the evidence is and where to go from that. One of the interesting things he talks about there is what happens in a lot of evidence rooms, and that sometimes there's more paranormal, or a lot of times there's more paranormal activity associated with evidence. Once the evidence is cleared, then it stops. But the book, if you're interested, I think you, especially if you're into the interesting spooky stuff, you might like it. It's out now, and he says he has so many stories that he might even be able to come up with a second book, because I went through this, like, they're short stories. So they give you an overview, they give you the details, but it doesn't take a lot of time to read. Okay. So it's like little potato chips. You're going through story after story, and each one has its own unique element. They're not just your typical ghost story. Some have a little bit more of a metaphysical angle and maybe a time shift element. Anyway, Paul Rimash, and it's Fingerprints and Phantoms. True Tales of Law Enforcement Encounters with the Paranormal and the Strange. And the strange element is quite well represented. So that one's a good one to go into. And for any time of year, ghosts don't happen just a certain time of year. They happen 24/7. And the fun thing for me is that there is no specific way to assure yourself that this is a ghost or this is an ET, a trans-dimensional. I think we are still working with those categories. And the first time I experienced someone who was deceased and actually taking over part of me as I'm sleeping and waking up, making moaning, you know, ooh, and realizing, oh my gosh, that's a ghost. And then finally doing the research to see that the apartment, and it was a duplex, the side of the house we were in, that's where the suicide had happened. And understanding from that basically first up close and personal firsthand account that he wanted somebody to connect and help him go forward because he was stuck. It took me a while to do that. So obviously he stuck around for a little while. And his methods of trying to get me to pay attention and wake up and notice him for the very beginning, it was disconcerting. I was like, what the heck? Especially when I finally realized, because at one point I thought I had just forgotten how to breathe. And so I was somehow would go to sleep and just forgot how to breathe. So I would prop myself up with a pillow. That's how far removed I was from the possibility that a ghost was trying to inhabit my body, trying to make itself known through me. And not that I didn't think that that could be possible for other people, but no, no. So I convinced myself that I must be forgetting how to breathe. And that wasn't the case. So anyway, so these things for me, going to the events where there are people who are talking about their ghost experiences and experiencing things as they're there. The most recent one, and I thought, well, I'll just give you an idea of why I do these events, because it gives me a chance to share with others the fact that this stuff is real and you don't have to be frightened. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be shamed into not sharing your experiences. You do have to be, I think, discerning of where you talk about it. I do think that you have to honor and respect other people's beliefs. If they're not into this, then by all means, this isn't a good place to share and you just go somewhere else. But when they are interested and they are curious, then sharing your own view or your own experiences is fine. And that's what these events give us the opportunity to do. And so when I'm telling my story about that, which is pretty intense, well, at least from my experiencing, there has to be a certain audience who might be interested. And if you're listening, then you might be interested. So that's what I go on. And so with the most recent experience, we are hearing about other accounts of things that have happened. However, I went, and as soon as I sat down at the table, I had two people on either side, one person on one side, one person on the other, and I have two forks on my left, at my left side. This is obviously a dinner for the evening. And the fork, it flies off the table. Now, my hand is above it. So yes, it could have touched my sweater. I could have touched it. And that's how I'm trying to justify it. I must have ran, my hand must have, or my wrist, my arm must have caught it. The problem was I didn't feel anything from my sweater. I didn't feel like it had been caught because it zipped off the table onto the floor very quickly. And I'm thinking it had to have a little bit of force to make that happen. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, as I'm continuing to talk to other people and acting like nothing really happened, which is usually a lot of times, this is what we try to do. It's like, eh, no big deal. Nothing happened. And then you go back and you think, wait a minute, that didn't make sense. And so I'm thinking as I'm talking, that didn't make sense. So I go back and I'm curious. Then Verna Quartz, who's the owner of the Main Street Galleria, and this is where I'm talking about Weston, Missouri, where these things happen. And we've got better stories. This is just kind of the tip of the iceberg here. But, and also because it's very recent, I'm comfortable saying, look, this stuff is just part of being there. At that point, she says, well, I have been cooking and all day long, things keep dropping on the floor around her, dropping on the floor, pick up, put it back. So there was the theme, the pattern. And so sometimes it isn't about the incident, but it's about a reflection or a continuing of a certain type of event, a pattern, a theme, a repetition. And so something about that had relevance. And you know, look down, get up, what's on the floor? You know, I'm not going to go into that. But so I look a lot of times for other hints and clues. What am I supposed to be paying attention to? How do I make sense of this? And across the street, when we go on the tour, we go to the Weston Band Candle Company, and I love their candles. The flavors, I like candles anyway. We used to make them when I was a kid. And of course you end up with all sorts of pans coated in wax, never to be used again, except for candle making. Anyway, that was always fun. And now I just prefer to get them somewhere else so I can keep my pans intact. The thing is, this store has continued to increase in terms of the paranormal activity. And a lot of times what will happen to set it off is there will be changes in the environment. either around or in the space. There will be emotional issues more emotional activity, more people frequenting the space who have or are a lot more just in their normal way of being, a lot more expressive, a lot more outspoken, or in that way they are much more dynamic and passionate about the way they present themselves. That a lot of times will bring this element, have it amp up a notch. There's a lot going on there. And since it's a store, place of business, it sees lots of people, lots of different characters. But one of the most recent things that they had that he has a picture of and he talked about and showed me, I'd like to get a copy of it so I can share it. I just described it on the blog. I did the Wendy's Coffee House blog spot and added a few things about some other ghost stories you can check out. Some of them are on Reddit. And I think People Magazine, they highlighted 15 different types of stories. And there's a whole, just a whole section there of ghost stories. And some of these, they sound like they could be true. They sound like people are trying to share an event that happened that's unexplainable. And I'll get into in a few minutes the one that happened at Weston, or the two, I think, that have been posted, not on Reddit, but on a different site, which I was really glad to see, because that just makes it so much more. It's easy to talk about this stuff and say so-and-so told me, but when they give their own account, I think it carries a lot more, has a lot more weight to it. So with that, I'm trying to find my on my screen here. I want to pull up the site that they posted, just so you can. It's on Wendy's Coffee House, and the site, I think it's the Ghosts. And okay, I see the Weston Bend Candle Company and the St. George Hotel, and then the stories that were shared have more to do with one of the ladies who. A customer came in to Verna's shop, Main Street Galleria, the day after the initial, our first evening with ghosts, dining with ghosts. And she didn't know that the Weston area had all this haunted ghost activity. And she took just an external outside picture of the St. George Hotel. Up in one of the windows, you can see a face. And she posted that picture on this site. So I was really glad to see that, because before, people have said, oh, I've got this, and you never see it. You don't see it. But she followed through and she posted it on the website. So, and that is what I was trying to figure out what the website was. It's called hauntedplaces.org. So you can check that out. Now, another guy posted his story, his encounter at the St. George Hotel. And this is one that I had heard the year before, last year, because I was sitting at the same table with him. And as he's telling me this, he's like, he's extremely agitated. He's extremely intense and overwhelmed and frightened because he can't make sense of this. So the deal is, and his name is posted on the site here. He was in one of the bathrooms at the St. George Hotel and felt like there was something with him. He had a pain in his chest. He had a stabbing pain. He had all sorts of other things that went along with this encounter that absolutely freaked him out. All right. So he posted it, and he didn't post it until March, but he went on and he posted the whole story and said he's not real comfortable going back. So that's part of this, is that, if we attract things that we don't always know how we're going to respond. And so sometimes when people go into a place that has a history of being haunted, it's a lark. It's I don't believe in it anyway. We'll just go. We'll have fun. Everybody wants to go here. And, I'll just go along for the ride. A lot of times those are the people who get drawn into some of these experiences because they're not really expecting it and they're not blocking it. So they're wide open. And another person who had a similar type encounter, a group of women, and this is again from the 2017 tour, they came into the store and were talking about, and they were just shopping. They didn't come to the dinner, and they were just shopping, and they had been up to Atchison, also known for a lot of, there's a lot of Civil War history here. And so that really adds to the emotion, the intensity, and a lot more of the ghosts have some of that drama, trauma that goes along with them. So they're in Atchison, and they came in. Oh, we didn't really, we went there and there wasn't anything, you know, no experience, nothing. It was just a lark, haha. Well, they're walking through this building, and she goes back to the back area where the bathrooms are, and she comes back out, and she says, I'm so sorry. I almost ran into this lady, and I hope she's fine or something like that. And just tell her I'm sorry. And this is very similar to what happened at the cafe, that she bumped into this woman, but then she turned around and the woman wasn't there. She thought she saw her go into the restroom, and there was nobody back there. So, and I'm just butchering this story, but this is the gist of it, because these are the kinds of things that happen there. And, when they told her there was nobody else back there, you were the only person back there, so you couldn't have run into anybody. Well, okay, she's just a little bit flustered by that, but not, you know, okay, not flustered enough to really be too emotional. She goes downstairs, and as she goes downstairs, she's standing by the door down the stairs, and something pulls her hair. There's nobody around her. Something pulls her hair. That was it. That was like, okay, done. And so her friends are all wanting pictures. They want, what did you feel this? What happened? What, you know? And she's like, I'm not going back in there. So she stood out and looked in the window, waiting for her friends to conclude their business and leave. But again, she was with a group, and they were kind of like, you know, very having fun, lighthearted, nothing's going to happen, that we know we're going to see the ghosts and there are no ghosts. So she had the experience, and she was very, in her own way of presenting herself, skeptical. She wasn't buying into any of this until that happened. And then it was not skeptical. It was like, heck no, no more. And that's the thing. You can't always prepare yourself for these kinds of things, because especially like with me thinking that I'm going to have to figure out how to learn how to breathe correctly, because I've obviously forgotten when I go to sleep. That makes absolutely no sense. There is no way that would ever make sense. And yet that was what I had to work with. I was trying to make it logical that something I was doing had prevented that. Okay. So that's sometimes what happens with these. And as we're there at these events, I'll have people give me stories. And one woman came up, and I believe this is 2 or 3 years ago. She was talking about, she had lost her son, but he was still present. And the image I got was of a younger man than what she told me. But I had this image of a younger man around her. And as she's describing what he does with her necklace, the necklace has a nice a medallion on it. And the necklace, when she's holding the medallion, and it's a continuous circle. It doesn't have a break in it that holds the medallion on the chain. And she says, you know, this is what happens. He'll let me know. And the medallion comes off the chain. And she says, I can't explain it. I've seen it happen. I was just absolutely astounded when I saw it. As she's talking and she's showing this medallion and how it works on the chain, it falls off the chain. That is what happens. And that, and she was thrilled, because it was like, here she had witnesses. She had people that saw exactly what happened as she's explaining and describing what she has seen and experienced. And she connects it to her son, who's being there and reminding her that it's okay. It's just, you know, everything's fine. And you know, when you lose somebody close to you, there's a grief process that your whole body, you physically feel the grief. And so she's going through that. And with that, though, when those experiences happen, it removes some of that loss, that pain, and it gives her a more of a hopeful and an affirmation that, okay, it isn't what I thought it would be, you know, he's okay. And there are people, obviously, I've interviewed a few people who've written books and told their own stories about how they continue to stay connected and in contact with their relatives deceased, whether they're children or spouses or friends, that they're still around them. And that's what I wanted to talk about, because this is for the time of year that I'm actually doing this show. This is a time we are more likely to talk about ghosts, talk about the paranormal, and share it like it's an everyday occurrence. Okay, well, we could do that the rest of the year too, because it isn't limited to a certain time of the year. In my experience, some of these incidents seem to happen more dramatically in this fall season. And I think that has to do with a lot of different environmental factors that play into it. And I think the astrology, I think the way that the planet is cycling through the seasons, I do believe that those things have an impact. The environment, all of those things are a factor. And then not only that, but if you are going through any kind of transition in your life where you are more emotionally in touch or intuitively in touch, then that brings it in. For me, there have been deaths around this time of year, whether it's pets or relatives, and that has enhanced my psychic ability, and which is one of those things I've just noticed. I don't have math to back it up. I didn't bother looking up to see if this was some kind of a, you know, a fact. I just know that for me, that's what has happened, is that when I have a death, and especially at this time of year, then that psychic element tends to be more prominent, and I'm more connected in ways that I usually don't pay that much attention to or aren't as prominent. So I wanted to get back into a little bit of that Weston and some of the things that people have told me with their experiences and some of the things that are going on there too. So that if you want to make a little trip or if you'd like to do a little more research, you can check out the blog or just start doing your own research. The author I talked about earlier, I'll be interviewing him coming up here on Conscious Living too. So going to take a quick break here. And in the meantime, there's just so much going on that it's nice to be able to do a Google search about ghosts or paranormal and see multiple pages and all sorts of opportunities to check into it. Just be discerning. And remember, everything you take in, you have to process. Keep an open mind and do your homework. Take a break. We'll be back.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself so you can save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are making home affordable. A free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work. There's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up.
Cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out, roll it out.
We know how to skate.
We'll cut it down,
cut it down. We know what to eat.
We'll swap it out.
We eat healthy stuff.
Just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your kids healthier. Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day. That's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, That moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. You know, people would say that, or some people would say that the thing I experience with my nightlights is a paranormal phenomenon. I don't know what it's called. I just know it's real for me, and it's been going on for 20 years. And when it first started, I was so worried. I was just so afraid that it would stop. And it would stop like in the next hour, the next day, it would go away. And so to have it continue for 20 years is pretty phenomenal. And not only did it continue with that nightlight, it continued with other nightlights, and it continued in different places. It was something that I couldn't stop because it wasn't me. The dog's barking at the door, so Andy's going to go corral him, hopefully. It's not the mailman. And then there's a bigger bark. So it's one of those things where it's my normal. And with my normal have come along a lot of other normals and time shifts and experiences that you would call like an ET encounter. One, I talk about some of this in phases and shifts and just little snippets. One time there was this telepathic call to go outside the house. Andy heard it. We both went outside. He went out and he was looking down. And so he was looking down to see what he could see and see what are we supposed to look at? I went out and I looked up. Well, I got flashed by this light, which then affected my eyesight for a while. It was like this bright camera flash and I saw sparks and I had no idea, but because I looked up, I got that. He didn't. Why we were supposed to go outside. It was the thing of, are you paying attention and are you listening? Are you receptive? Well, we did what we got. The information was to go outside. So it's like, okay, so why? Who's testing? What's this about? There are other things like that, that it has been, how good are you at following instructions? And innocuous things like that. And then this other metaphysical element of seeing ghosts and ghosts saying there's this information that goes along with this. So consequently, in following and getting a hit or an accurate perception and realizing, okay, this is how I hear it and this is how it works for me, then I can do a better job of paying attention and seeing what is relevant versus just the overwhelm of information constantly flowing in, just following the cord, following the stronger connection. And so when I went up to Weston, the Weston Bend Candle Company, and said, all right, there are three entities here. And I forgot about it because it wasn't my information. But then I hear them saying back that a sensitive or somebody had come in and told them there are three entities and this is what they are and this is how it connects and how it relates. And then they had a paranormal group come in, and the paranormal group did a session and did with their special instruments to figure out what's what and where's where and who's who. And they came up with the same information. And so there it was validated. And I didn't hear that until, you know, a year or so later that they had the group come in who validated what my initial senses were. But part of that is that I don't do it to have it proved by some other group. I do it because it's what I get. And it will either be proven to be correct or it might not make sense. There was one time, again, this is a Weston ghost tales. I was there and the family came up, a mom and daughter came up and said they were asking about their cat. And when I got the information about the cat, it was, I've had this white cat. I'm picturing a white cat. And I said, well, you have a white cat. No, we don't have a white cat. Okay. Well, and this is what I have been told, no matter what the external framework shows, give the information you have. It will be of its own merit. And so I'm like, well, okay, I'm not picking up on a yellow cat. I pick up on a white cat. And so I gave the information for the white cat. 6 or 8 months later, And then during this process, something happened. And then I heard about it at the next Ghost Tales of Weston. They came back and they approached me and said, you know what? Remember that yellow cat that we asked you about? And you told us we had a white cat? Our yellow cat turned white. Whoa. I wouldn't have made that call. I had nothing to do with it. And I have no idea how that information came to me, but it was there. And that's, so I just had to repeat, yes, this is what I get. One of the first sessions I did in with a round circle in a public group, I did three. Once I learned how to channel, I did a year of just working with women, a year of just working with men, and a year of working with groups to acclimate myself to different energy forms and the way that we express ourselves differently. Women and men have different energies, and the way they the way you sense that, there are some signatures that make a difference. And so when I'm sensing it from that vantage point, from that state of mind, then I have to understand why it feels a certain way and what I do with that information. So I'm at this group, and it's a large, for the most part, a lot of women. There are, I think, a few guys there, but mostly women. And I have this name, and the woman across from me, she had asked for the information. So I said, and I don't always do this with names, because to me, that can get muddied, and I can project or have a, you know, it's more likely I can project something. I don't ever want to fish. I want to know. And so, if I don't know, then it's not something I can comfortably, or confidently express. So if I have a question about that, then I just don't address it. However, this time I was given the name. And so I asked the woman, okay, does this name mean anything to you? And her response was no, no. So I'm okay. But with what I had been taught in terms of from my guides, how to deal with these things, was I needed to ask again. And so I ask her again, does this name, is this something that makes sense? Have you, do you relate to this name? And she's confident and assured and definite. No. Okay. The third time, because the guides are saying, ask, I'm trying to get away from it because this is a group. This is public. I am harassing her by not allowing her to say no and me accepting that. And sometimes I am not there to get an answer. I'm there to give information, and the answers will be self-revealing and maybe come afterwards. It's not my job to try and convince or present anything in a way that makes somebody uncomfortable if they don't want to hear it. I give the information and go forward. So with this is unusual for me to persist, but I am told the guides say, one more time, ask. So knowing that I'm basically going down with a ship and that I'm probably going to be seen as inconsiderate because this is somebody, she's lost a partner. And so I said, I need to ask, just in case I'm misinterpreting, does this name mean anything to you? She is so exasperated with me at that point. She looks at me directly with a very stern, frustrated, you're not getting this tone of voice. That was her given name. We never called her by that name. That's the family name. Oh. Oh, there was so much emotion with that, so much anger. But the deal is, I had no way, none of knowing that name. It was an odd name. It wasn't, I'm like, why does this name come in? Why? And then to be told by the guides, directed, ask again. It has to do with the ego. I can be wrong. That's just sometimes that's going to happen. But I have to be authentic, I have to be sincere, and I have to listen to the guidance, or I won't get it. As simple as that. If I'm not paying attention, if I'm not honoring the contract, then it's over. My contract was to follow through and to give her the information. Then she got more information because it was proof that that information was unique and specific to her. What anybody else thought of that was not anything I could handle or deal with or address. It wasn't for them. It was for this person from her significant other. And that made all the difference in the world. Because after that, that was one of the initial things where I'm thinking, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? That things made sense. And I could trust, okay, I'm being given this. Recently, another person, and this had to do with names again. Like I say, I avoid names. And I was given a name. As I'm walking the door, I'm holding the door open, going to connect with this person, said, ask about this name. Here we go again. Of course, it's been like 20 years, so I'm over it. But anyway, so I hey, does the name mean something to you? The person looks at me and says, yes. And all along, the name I had been given was a different name because this person doesn't go by the same name. Again, it's one of those things where here's the family name, here's the personal name, here's the friend name, here's the, you know, the dynamic was the same. There's one name for public, one name for friends. And so it was another way of saying, this is the information that is specific and unique to this person, and this is how you are connecting because you have an inside connection. Someone else, non-corporeal, some other essence, being, form, knowledge, has this stuff that I'm getting, and it's feeding it to me. So with that, this stuff that I do with ghosts and with the other types of energies I work with, my nightlight, which I consider another entity, non-corporeal, not a ghost, doesn't have that same kind of energy to it. It's not ghosts sometimes have more of a heavier imprint. And so you're more likely to feel when you're around a ghost, the it's like a dank element, more, should I say, there's more moisture, more, it's more fluid. It's you know, swimming or in a fog, that kind of element to it, water. To me, that's how most of the ghosts that I have connected with felt like you're walking through a fog or you're surrounded by this mist, this heavy stuff. And to that end, the essence that showed up at the Weston group for one of the groups that we were on during the ghost tour, most recently, they went up to a bed and breakfast and they stood out there. And all of a sudden from the house is this like smoky, cloudy formation comes out from the house and wafts over and through the crowd. And this hasn't happened before. That hasn't been part of this tour. And it isn't a theatrical element. So they're standing there with that. And then out comes a teenager. And this story was told after the event. They came down and said, this is what happened at the house. Whoa. Okay. So after that happened, the teenager comes running out. He's like all excited and whoa. Because what he said happened while he's in the house, he's a teenager. So he's not going to the bars downtown. He's not going to the other establishments. He's staying, you know, holding down the fort at where they've decided to stay for the night. And he's all alone. And in the house, he hears footsteps and voices. So obviously that was a bit disconcerting. So he was glad to see the crowd of people standing outside talking about how haunted the place is. He missed that page of the book. So, and that's the thing. There are lots of places that are known to have ghosts or have had activity and be haunted. They're not all on the list for public inspection or for anybody to go visit anytime. And so when they open these places up, these houses up, where they identify them, then the general public can see, oh, that looks just like a normal house. Oh, that looks spooky, you know, whatever. Those things are there as a reminder that you could live in a haunted house and you wouldn't put it on the tour. You wouldn't invite people to come through because it may not be haunted when they go through. But if you live there 24/7 and you're spending some time alone, you may have an encounter that you can't quite explain. And then things will seem a little bit different when you're trying to make an assumption or a judgment about somebody else having a ghost encounter. And that's why I like the book that that I will be interviewing Paul Rimosh. And I already interviewed him for Wendy's Coffee House. So that interview is in the can in the archives. But for Empower, there's another one coming up. We may address a few other issues, the stories. And he also has a big backlog, so he could put out easily, he said, you know, another two or three or four books. I'm hoping for another one. And the reason is because these are law enforcement officials, people who are behind the scenes and seeing a lot of, in some cases, really, really dark stuff. They're there when there's a murder. They're there when there's a fatality accident. They're there on site when these things happen. And sometimes that paranormal element also affects and influences them. I had an encounter with a traffic accident, and reporting traffic, there isn't always, you know, there's always, how should I say, there's not always a follow-up. I don't always know what happened with the accidents. I just know here's this and report it and go from there. And this was a fatality and go from there. And that's, you know, it, however long it takes to be, you know, it's 2 hours. It's, they're still working on the accident. That's pretty much, I get the overview. I would like to say, don't text. You have a fraction of a second when something happens in front of you and you're texting and you're gone. But that's just, and I, from some of the people who do some of those accidents, it's a lot more prevalent now to see the numbers of people who are distracted drivers, and it does make a difference. So anyway, this had to do with some teenagers, because I'm at the site dreaming. And I'm seeing this vehicle off on the side of the road, and it's kind of you know, foggy. I don't have a clear. The vehicle is clear, and there's a big white box truck, and there are two stretchers. Ambulance workers are carrying two people away from the accident, and I'm there. I don't see a lot of other people. I just see those two workers. I see the people on the stretchers. I don't have any idea the disposition. I have no other information except I seem to be involved in watching or observing this. And I know I somehow I'm there to help. And then a woman comes up to me and she says, "It's okay. I have teenagers. I work with teenagers." I'm okay. And I realized, well, okay, she's got this and I can leave. I need to go. About 45 minutes later, I'm at work and I see the accident of the morning still in progress. It has to do with a group of teenagers who had a designated driver. The designated driver was going through an area that had patchy fog and with the low visibility drove off the road. So everything they had done to try to make sure they were safe because of the road conditions, it didn't work. And they were teenagers. I had a girlfriend who called me up and said, I don't know why this hit me so hard. Why? I couldn't. And she had a teenage boy and all of his buddies, all of his friends, they all play sports. And so she felt very connected to that group through her son. And then this is not the same group. It's another group with probably a similar element to it. And in my own way, I have a sense that she or someone like her was like me, out of body, astral, traveling, and seeing that these things were happening and they were getting the assistance. But that was a bit, I don't know. The sense I had that morning when I went in and saw that this was happening and knowing that everything was right place, right time, whatever the outcome, everything was all being taken care of, was, it's one of those things that say, wow, we are so connected without even knowing it. But I do have to pay attention when I'm doing the traffic, because occasionally I will look at a place and think, okay, I'll say this. And I have to watch, because in the next 30 seconds, then they'll post the accident. It's like, okay, sorry. But those kinds of things are part of, you know, part of life. We are so connected. And that's what this ghost stuff gives us insight into. So when you read the book from Paul Rimosh And it's Rimosh, like, oh my gosh. I really thank him for telling me that because I'm not sure. Anyway, so Paul Rimosh, Fingerprints and Phantoms, True Tales of Law Enforcement Encounters with the Paranormal and the Strange. Because he throws a little bit of everything. It's not it's all about ghost stories. There are a few things in there, too, that are kind of like ghost stories, but they have to do with people who are high maintenance and need a redirect. So there's a little bit of humor along this. But there's also that intense thing of there are fatalities, there are deaths, and there are connections. A lot of the things that they talk about in terms, or he talks about with the people that he works with and he's around, evidence rooms have a lot of activity. And the evidence rooms, when the activity goes away, it's because they've processed the evidence and the evidence is no longer there. We are attached to our things. And such is the case with Nicolette. She's a doll at one of the shops in Weston, Missouri. Nicolette is one of the stories that Renner Quartz, and it's Quartz. I have to figure out how to, so you can Google it, find it, but you can just go on the blog and look it up. Anyway, Nicolette, when she was put in the window, and she's a beautiful little doll. Well, maybe a 3 foot tall doll, but she's a beautiful doll. And she has excess, shall we say, extra personality, excess baggage. They put her in the window and the window froze up. Ice on the window. So they tried it twice and decided maybe the window was not going to be a good spot for her. They put her back in the store. I think she froze the pipe. So they try to keep her away from things that might freeze. But that's one of the ones that Verna writes about, one of the haunted elements of Weston, Missouri. There are a lot of haunted towns and haunted places and haunted houses. As I am doing the research, I don't consider my house haunted. I don't consider myself haunted. I consider that I am connected to other elements. So yesterday in the morning, as I'm researching for the ghost stuff and doing this stuff with Weston and thinking about it and doing Google searches, so I'm reading a ton of information all about ghosts, focusing on how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? What relevance does this have? In the morning, I have this blink, 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 blink. The traffic, the lights in the studio are blinking. Now, we do have a studio ghost, and he's a little bit more active. I'm not sure if it was him yesterday morning because of the other stuff that's going on and the other connections I'm making right now. And then again, last night, as I'm reading through, because I didn't get the book until the last minute, PDF file gave me the book. And I'm like, okay, I got to read, got to practice, got to get ready, got to, you know, focus. And there it is, 8:30, the lights dim, almost go out, dim. And then come back on. And so Andy's like, well, what the heck? You know, I don't, did you feel that? Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Okay. We're in different areas of the house. And it turns on. We've got a Harry Potter DVD and it turns it back on. Okay. So we turn everything off. Lights are supposed to be on or are still on. DVD off. And then again, Harry Potter DVD comes back on. I can't remember what it was saying, but it was something it related at the time. So that was it twice. And some of this for me is like, are you paying attention? Yes, most of the time. And when I'm not, I get reminders to tune back in. But a lot of this has to do with we are so much more than this physical body. We have these other elements around us all the time trying to get us to up our game and to become more proficient using our telepathic abilities, more invested in learning about the other energy that is constantly around us, more concerned with being and not doing, with being connected and being engaged, being aware. One of the things that just came out today is a new, and it sounds interesting, breakthrough in communication with the dead. I love it. I love it. And this is a guy who is hoping to produce something called a soul phone. He says that it has documented the phenomenon of life after death. And he's written this information in a book called Greater Reality Living with Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona. Gary does a lot of afterlife experiments, that kind of thing, working with mediums. So he's an authority in that area. But the question, and this is the article on the Herald Tribune, what will it take to engineer a technology to make spirit communication extremely reliable, practical, and affordable? Okay, so it's not a question of, is it possible? It's, how are we going to make this work? That's the next step. Isn't that cool? It's timing. Thank you for listening. If you have a chance, check out the book on the fingerprints and phantoms. Or you can go online, look up the book, Ghost Tales of Weston. Check out the blog, Wendy's Coffee House. Got some good stories on there and some other good links, just to the backlog of stuff all over the world deals with ghosts. And stay curious. See ya.